Good morning and welcome to the European Central Bank conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Benders? Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks a lot. Good morning and welcome to our public hearing here in Frankfurt as part of the consultation on the draft ECB regulation on statistical reporting requirements for pension funds. I have here with me this morning Oral Schubert, our Director General of Statistics, and he will give you a short overview about what the regulation is and why it is around. And then we are at your disposal for questions. Just a short reminder before we start, as the operator said, the conference is being recorded. So without further ado, Oral.
So good morning to everybody from Frankfurt to this public hearing on the draft ECB regulation on statistical reporting by pension funds. As you might all know, pension funds are a financial sector of very large importance, especially due to their interconnectedness and the economic function they fulfill in our society, which is experiencing major demographic changes and, as you know, the aging of the population. And there are around 50 million citizens in Europe who are members of pension funds and will receive at least part of their pensions from pension funds. And in addition, pension funds, as you know, are not only among the largest and fastest growing investors in global financial markets, as they are placing the money of their people into the capital market. And just to give you a number, for instance, the pension funds in the euro area almost doubled in size since 2008. So currently we are holding, or they are holding, about 2,500 billion euros in assets. So they are a very large, important part of the financial sector. So what we did, we launched on the 26th of July a public consultation on this ECB regulation on pension fund statistics. And the main purpose for us here is to increase transparency and give the citizens of Europe, the market participants and other stakeholders, the opportunity to express their views on this new planned regulation. So this will allow us to benefit directly from insight from the interested parties, and that is the purpose. So with this regulation, we try to fill an important gap for monetary and financial stability policy making. Now, coming more into the details, so as you know, in all our policy areas, be it monetary policy, financial stability, macroprudential, we are what we call evidence-based. It says all our decisions are based on data, and so this regulation will now help to gather comprehensive and enhance information on this important part of the financial sector. So what is important, there are currently obviously already information on the pension sector, but pension fund sector, but this new regulation will allow us to collect harmonized and comparable data around the European Union and the euro area. Now, currently this is rather difficult because, as you know, the pension fund sector is very, very heterogeneous. So there are different types of pension funds, there are different characteristics, they are very different and skewed in size. So the regulation, what it tries to do is now really to increase harmonization and comparability of the data using the statistical framework is defined by the European system of accounts, so having here really a standardization. So with that, we will have much richer information with more detail and a better understanding what is the role of the pension funds in monetary policy for financial stability or for macro prudential purposes. So we'll, for instance, a question which is now very relevant, better understand what's the role of pension funds in the transmission mechanism of monetary policy. Now, from this information, it will not only benefit us and all public institutions, it will also hopefully benefit the population at large, as they will all be able to obtain a broader and more detailed picture on this very important sector. So, for instance, we will have this assets and liabilities of pension funds broken down by geography, by maturity, by economic sector, so much richer information than currently available. So the main objectives of the regulation is, as I said, more transparency and to, for us, better understand the role and the contributions of this sector, both to the transmission of monetary policy, but also the risks which are relevant for financial stability purposes. So this higher level of transparency will, for instance, a question which is obviously important is we will know better what share of the assets of pension funds are invested in government bonds and which government bonds are. So that would be something very, very important. Or how do the pension funds raise their resources? Or what are, or maybe better understand, hopefully, then the potential risks associated with the activities, especially the question of interconnectedness, which is obviously a very, very important one. And as I mentioned already before, their role in the transmission mechanism of monetary policy. So ultimately, this will provide us improved information for economic decision making, but also new lines of analysis will be possible with this. So that's, I think, the main objective. Now, the process itself, the genesis of this regulation, so there is a we had a process already of about 2.5 years of careful preparation of the whole thing. As we know, with all our regulations, statistical regulations, we usually create a reporting burden, that is clear. And so we always go for a so-called merits and cost procedure, and that was also here the case, where we try to have in a very comprehensive procedure to try to minimize the reporting burden by still providing the information that is relevant for the users. So for instance, I mean, this data collection, and that we should not forget when we talk about the merits, is not just of purpose and use for the ECB, but it should also help the pension funds themselves. So both the ECB, but also the pension funds need more detailed and timely information about balance sheet positions, each for their specific purposes, obviously. However, as I mentioned in the very beginning, the pension fund sector is very skewed and heterogeneous in Europe. There are also many, many very small pension funds. So one principle which was very, very important for us is the proportionality, a principle which is usually applied in Europe. To ensure proportionality, smaller pension funds can be granted derogations, in particular the smallest pension funds, where the assets or all their assets are less than 10 million euros, or where the number of its members are fewer than 100. And I hear there are even pension funds where there are only one or two members. Those are or can be granted derogations, can be exempted from the detailed reporting. So by, in a way, as a, by doing this, BS estimate that less than 2% of the total potential reporting population will have to be will be subject to the full reporting obligation. So we are talking about a 1,500 to 2,000 pension funds, which will be only requested to do the full reporting. But still, they will cover more than two-thirds of the pension fund holders, so maybe 30 million or more of the pension fund holders. So maybe if we put this a little bit into context with our usual reporters, namely the banks, we are talking here about 2,000 quarterly data points relative to about 60,000 which are reported by the banking sector. So it is a much lighter burden. And again, as I said, only for those 1,500 to 2,000 pension funds, which is only 2% of the overall population of the pension funds. Now, we said we had the merits and cost procedure. We have now this public consultation running. We on purpose have now this meeting today because there's still 1 week to submit any comments and any feedback. And we have taken in the whole process into consideration all the different inputs from the National Central Bank, the national competent authorities, from EIOPA, from Eurostat, from the OECD, which is also very active in this area, and from the pension funds industry. And now we have also invited the general public to give us any comments. So we take very much, very seriously the views of the pension fund industry, and we have already used it in the current draft. And we think we have adopted a rather balanced approach, again, balancing merits and costs. Now the final step after this consultation, once we take into account the comments which we receive within the next still few days, this will be incorporated if relevant, and then we'll go to the Governing Council, which is the decision-making body for all ECB regulations. And on the timeline, I'll come back in a moment. But then the Governing Council will approve, will adopt this regulation. Now, just quickly, what documents are published? So the draft regulation is in your hands, most likely, which defines what is the reporting population, something I just alluded to, what kind of information needs to be provided here quarterly, and what are the possibilities for derogations. We have also published from this merits and cost procedure, which I just outlined a minute ago, the summary, what were the challenges, what were the main answers. And we have also published a short paper of about 4 pages of frequently asked questions. Now, maybe it's clear that the ECB regulation is a binding legal instrument, as I said. I think there is nothing else to be said except coming now. Maybe what's the rationale of the whole public consultation is, as I said already in the beginning, we want to increase the transparency on our procedures, and so we go beyond what we used to do in the past, only the merit and cost procedure. We, due to the importance of the pension funds sector, we really want to have all the views and take this into account. As I mentioned, the pension funds are large and growing and are very important for our policy purposes, especially monetary policy purposes. So we want to have the feedback from the citizens also in Europe. One point which is, I think, very, very important is the close coordination which we have here with the supervisors of pension funds, namely EIOPA, the European Insurance and Occupational Pension Authority, which also happens to be here in Frankfurt. So we have closely cooperated with them, and all the definitions, methodological framework, but also the transmission formats are fully aligned between the two. So in parallel, as you know, EIOPA has also launched a consultation paper, which is geared towards the national competent authorities, and also EIOPA aims to streamline all quantitative reporting requirements from pension funds into one comprehensive package of reporting templates. But everything is, as usually, subject to then the local arrangements. However, the national competent authorities organize it based on the principle of subsidiarity. But what is, I think, important, the insured, like we did already before for insurances some months ago, no duplication, and the reportings are fully aligned between the two institutions. I said already the timeline, so to mention the timeline. We started this public consultation in the mid of July, on the 26th of July. Today we have this public hearing. You still have about a week till the 29th of September to submit any comments. Then it's the end of the public consultation, the 29th of September. And then we plan to go to the Governing Council by December of this year. And the goal is then to publish the final legal act before the end of the year. And as you know, it then enters into force 20 days after the publication. Now, you can submit all your comments till the 29th via email or traditional snail mail, or you can put your you find all the information on the website how to submit any comments. And again, the aim is to go to the decision-making bodies by December of this year. So with that, thank you very much for your attention, and we are ready for questions you might have.
Yes, thank you, Oral. Operator, could you please start the Q&A?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. So the first question is coming from Eskola Pekka from Pension Europe. May we have your question, please?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for organizing this public hearing and also, of course, the public consultation. So on behalf of Pension Europe, I would like to thank the ECB for organizing all of this and also having an open dialogue with the pension industry on this file already already quite a long time, and also taking on board many of our concerns. Clearly, we see that that some of the features that that are included in the draft regulation could be still quite burdensome and costly to pension funds. And therefore, my first question would be that does the ECB still see possibilities to remove or make some changes to the some of the features in practice? There is not too much time anymore before the end of the year. And then maybe the second question would be that related to the ECB's work. How important the ECB sees the quarterly estimations on liabilities of pension funds, as clearly they do not change so much so often. Of course, I mean this, the aim is that the work would be done by the national supervisors together with the ECB, so that that would not be such a burden for pension funds. But how do you see, I mean, how important do you see it to have these quarterly estimations on liabilities for the ECB? So thank you very much for organizing this, and thank you very much for your answers already in advance. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for your for your comments, and also for your appreciation of the cooperation which we had, which we very much appreciate, and I think we had very good and intensive discussions coming up with the package as it is currently. I mean, obviously, this is a public consultation, so we are open to any suggestions. But as I had said before, I mean, it was a very balancing act to balance the very far-reaching needs of the policymakers, and obviously. The reporting burden which you have alluded to, but so we are keen to see what specifically you are looking at, and how much this can be taken on board without really reducing the necessary policy needs. Now, on the quarterly estimation of the liabilities, as we all know, liabilities are mainly model based, and so it's quite expensive to estimate those things. But I mean, we need a comprehensive picture, and if you don't have this on the, and you have quarterly reporting, you don't have the liability side, then obviously you don't have the comprehensive picture. But as you said, it will be done by the. The estimations will be done by the national authorities, and we will have to gain experience on how well this works. But I think it was an important outcome of our discussions not to request this from the pension funds themselves on a quarterly basis, but put this burden on our national colleagues. And I think we will. Gather experience and then see what is the information value of it. But the point is taken. I check with whether any of our colleagues have anything else. Okay, thank you very much.
For further questions, please press star one. There are no further questions so far.
Okay.
Sorry, so I was too fast. From Gerard Sheehan from Mercer, may we have your question, please?
Good morning, and once again, thank you for taking the time for the public call this morning. My question is two parts, really, and the first part relates to the valuation of the heterogeneous approaches that you referred to earlier between the valuations for liabilities between the various jurisdictions. Now, in the past, as we know, there's been various efforts regarding the introduction of a holistic balance sheet approach for pension funds, and in fact, the recent EIOPA stress test for pension funds in the region continue to use this holistic balance sheet approach, which looks at pension liabilities on a, call it, you know, a consistent market consistent basis across the regions. Now, from the documents that have been released, it's unclear to me as to whether there is an intention to continue with this approach across the regions, or whether each of the national authorities will be using or requesting liability valuations that are relevant to the national valuation approach in each jurisdiction. That's a long-winded question. That's the first part of my question. The second part relates to the level of detail required on the asset side. Again, I'd like you to just clarify for the purposes of reporting whether the look-through, for example, for pension funds that are holding a large number of unit funds on a pooled basis, whether the data reporting requirements applies all the way through to each individual security held in each unitized fund. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I will turn over to our expert, Rafa Quevedo, to address your two questions. Rafa, please.
Thank you, Rel. Yeah, coming back to your first question, it was regarding the valuation of the liabilities. In fact, we have included in the regulation a specification. We stated very clearly under Article 6 that the country rules to be applied will be the national ones, or those that are already applied at national level. We fully understand this was the issue of the holistic balance sheet trying to be done by EIOPA, but we are not following this approach. So we have clearly stated in the regulation that we will follow the national rules apply in its jurisdiction. So in that case, it will be not the holistic approach that you mentioned. On your second question, that you were referring to the investment funds look through, it was analyzed and assessed in the merits and costs, and at the end it was considered not to be included in the regulation, but it will be a split of the unit funds investment by type of fund, just a general type of fund, for instance, in debt, in bonds, in shares. So, but it will be not a look-through approach properly. So in that case, it will be just aggregated data to be reported in that case.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions?
For other questions, please press star 1. So there are no further questions.
Thank you very much. So that leaves me to, thank you everybody for dialing in and for the interest in this consultation and this hearing. Again, as Oral said, there's a good week still for you to post any kind of comments, and the website holds the details how that ideally should work. I wish you all a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So we want to thank Mr. Benders and all the participants of this conference. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.